This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Hello. So I'm here with Rob Isar from University of Bonn. He gave a talk about mystery barium stars, and I wanted to ask him, what's a barium star and where's the mystery about them?
Oh, the barium stars are these giant stars. They're very bright. There's many of them on the sky. We know 100 or more in the local neighbourhood. They have this spectral line of barium, which makes them easy to spot. So they've been known for many, many decades. The mystery is really that they're all binary stars. We know that because we see the spectral lines moving on the spectrum. It's this radial velocity shift. So how do they form is the first question. We think it's because they used to have a very large AGB star companion, which makes this red giant that makes these heavy metals like barium and then dumps them onto the other star through their stellar wind. And you can accrete a stellar wind. I always think of it as if you're a swimmer. If you jump in the swimming pool, swim one length and get out, you're wet. You've accreted material from the swimming pool. Now imagine that's made with some kind of heavy elements like barium and stuff like that. You'd look at your hair and you'd find bits of barium in it. That's exactly how it is. So now the star that made the heavy elements is long dead. It ejected all its material. It's just a dead white dwarf swinging around in the binary orbit. But the star that accreted, which would have looked much like the Sun originally, it has got old. And, you know, stars, when they get old, they're like humans, they get bigger, right? So it's now very large, very bright, and we can see it. Because the atmosphere is quite cool, the barium lines are very obvious. So barium stars are easy to spot. But the big mystery is, if it was an AGB star, then it should have been in a circular orbit, and also reasonably close orbit, a few hundreds to thousands of days period. But the models that we make completely disagree with what we see. So the models say they should all be circular, but the observations say that they're eccentric. So we know that the models are either the tidal interactions are completely wrong, which is a possibility, but we've tested them on other stars, main sequence stars, so it's possibly not. Or there's some other interesting new physics, which we don't know. So my idea was that we could use kicks. Kick the white dwarf when you make it. This has been seen in white dwarfs and globular clusters.
Okay. So with a kick, you will make the orbit more eccentric, right?
That's the idea.
Okay.
So when one star is an AGB star, you have very strong tidal interactions. And this circularizes the orbit, because the circular orbit is the lowest energy state.
Yeah.
So that's very simple to understand. And you can see the same thing with the Earth-Moon system. It probably started with a collision and then was very eccentric, but now it has an eccentricity of, 5% or something. It's very small. Mm-hmm. So we know tides are very efficient. So if at the end of this phase you give it a kick, it starts with an eccentricity of zero, whatever you do, it'll have to have a higher eccentricity after that. And we need eccentricities 0.2, 0.3, all the way up, for some of them up to 0.9. So it's quite strong. One of them is a triple, so we can ignore that.
Oh, wow.
Triple systems are just confusing.
Messy.
Messy, yeah. But you can pull that out and you've still got problems. But it's a lot of physics that's in these systems. We have winds, wind accretion. Some of them have Rossloff overflow, common envelopes. A lot of AGB physics, the nuclear synthesis, we can probe that as well. So they're very interesting stars. And the set of observations is almost complete. So what I mean by that is that we see 100 barium stars in the sky. We have 100 good orbits and eccentricities. There's nothing missing. So it's a very, very good constraint on binary evolution, stellar evolution, nuclear synthesis, all these things.
So the barium star can't be single, ever. No, the barium doesn't
come. There's none known.
Okay.
That could be single. You could have a star that's got barium. It would just be a normal AGB star.
Yeah.
But it would be much brighter than the barium stars we see. And AGB stars live for, a million years?
Yeah.
But a red giant will live for many tens of millions of years. So you're more likely to see all of them. So if you have 100 stars, maybe one or two will be AGB stars. But all the rest will be red giants. And in the normal red giant phase, you're burning hydrogen in a shell, and you don't make heavy elements. So we know they had to be made by an AGB star in the past.
Okay.
And that they are all binaries says to us, well, it was probably the binary companion that did it. That fits very well.
So the problem is to make the orbits more eccentric.
Yeah, that's the main problem. But then there's also the issue that the models say, okay, if we have wind accretion, there are many theories of how to do wind accretion, then you should get barium stars with periods up to 10,000 days, but we don't see them. We see some with a few thousand days, but very few. So something about a wind accretion prescription that we use in the code is completely wrong. Now, it was designed by Hoyle and Littleton back in early part of the 20th century, mid-20th century, and it's really the main approximation you have to use is that the wind is fast. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, in these binaries, it's not. But there is no good theory for slow wind accretion.
Yeah, right.
You have to use computer simulations. It becomes complicated because you have dust forming inside the binary, and where the dust forms, the radius where the dust forms, is critical to how much you accrete on the companion.
Yeah.
And then some of the material is thrown out through the what we call the Lagrange points, so you end up with a disk form around the binary, the circumbinary disk. And that may be what's causing the eccentricity pumping as well. You get these resonances in the disk, and it interacts with the binary. So, again, there's a lot of good physics in that that is poorly understood. We have people in Bonn who are working on simulations of this wind, what we call wind Rochlobe overflow, or WOF, I think we wanted to call it. It's,
okay.
It's really difficult to do, though. Numerically, very challenging. And you need to put a lot of physics into your model. You can't just use a ballistic n-body type model. You have to have proper hydrodynamical simulations. It's very tough. Putting in the chemistry as well. So well, there's a lot of stuff, good stuff in there that we don't understand.
Okay.
We need to keep working on.
Yeah. So what would it be like a good observational, or maybe no, you need to play with the models, right? Because observations are there, or do you need to...
At the moment, I think the observations are there. The people I work with in Brussels are finishing the observations, so they've got a few of the widest binaries to go. Once they've done that, that'll be complete, essentially. But there are other stars that are related to these. So post-AGB stars mm-hmm. are clearly related to barium stars. So as I said, when you accrete the barium, one of the stars is a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the primary AGB star, when it dies, it will form a post-AGB star before it becomes a planetary nebula. And we can't see it because, of course, it's long dead, but we can see younger versions of that exist now. And all the binaries that we look at there have these reasonably massive disks. So that's telling us something about the binary physics. And they're incredible objects because you can see the disks, you can actually resolve them with interferometry, which I find is amazing because they're the size of the solar system and yet we can see them.
Yeah.
They are fascinating objects. So we can look at those. And then if you go to lower metallicity, there are other stars which are thought to form by wind accretion. Often they're very carbon-rich. These things, they're called the CH stars in the halo.
Mm-hmm.
There's also these carbon-enhanced metal Bohr stars, which are right down at metallicities -2, so 1/100th of the solar iron abundance. Really very rare objects. But again, thought to form by binary interactions. There's a very, very high binary fraction, which is compatible with 100% in some of these. So they're all related. It's just the metallicity is different, so the nuclear synthesis is different. And they look different in the spectra because of the different metal content. But again, we don't understand those. And a good statistic is if you look at the number of these carbon-rich, very metal Bohr stars, it's way higher than we predict with the models. We predict 2%, 3%, something like that. And in the observations, it's more like an order of magnitude greater. So it's maybe 10 to 20%. And this is a big challenge for us at the moment. And again, I think it's all related to the same problem with the barium stars. The problem with the low metallicity stars, we don't have good periods for many of them because they're halo objects, so they're very distant.
Okay.
And it's much harder to get good observations on them. But the nuclear synthesis is even more interesting. It's full of carbon, sometimes full of nitrogen, oxygen, all the things you expect in the galactic halo, the alpha elements, magnesium, things like that. And then they show all these heavy metal abundances, so they're barium, yttrium, strontium, lead, things like this. And some of them have even explosive nuclear synthesis. elements in them, like europium.
Oh, wow.
And really, we don't know where that comes from. So you're probing the archaeology of the galaxy.
Yeah.
By looking at these stars. And, having a complete set of binary-induced, chemically peculiar stars, you can tell a lot about not just the stars and the way stellar evolution works, but also about the galaxy. So they're very fascinating objects. And many problems with them still.
That's pretty good. Well, thank you very much for the interview, and hope you can solve all the models and problems and everything soon.
Not too quickly.
Yeah, not too quickly.